More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, grudges and grievances. Are unresolved grudges, grievances, or old hurts impacting your relationship with someone you care about? Let us help you clear the air. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Grudges and Grievances.
What's with the tone?
I was feeling Dickensian. That's why I'm wearing the top hat, in fact. No, I'm not doing that. But,
my word.
No, just struck by inspiration. But yes, it's grudges and grievances, those old hurts that continue to smart, you know, even after we've said that we forgive the person, even after we've tried to move on.
Sometimes even after years have gone by, and then they raise their ugly heads again, and you realize you're still hurting. You're still kind of feeling that against them, even though you're trying to be a good Christian in the situation. And you don't know what to do to heal yourself or the relationship.
877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about getting past those old hurts that are hard to let go of. Again, you know, maybe you have forgiven the person, but the feelings of hurt, anger, resentment, distrust are still there, and you know, maybe they're telling you, shame on you for feeling that way. Mm. Maybe you're beating up on yourself. How do we move past those hurts and find true forgiveness and healing?
And I think that these can often rise up for milestone occasions or anniversary occasions. So you have somebody in your life, a friend, a sibling, a parent, whoever that person is, and suddenly there's a birthday that comes up, and you're thinking, oh, why aren't we in a better relationship? Why hasn't this been fixed yet? Excuse me. Why is there this distance between us? And you think about all the stuff that led to where you are right now. Perhaps it's a wedding, where, because the whole family's going to be there, it shines the light back on those hurts that you experienced and are realizing, ooh, this is still here. I didn't realize how much this was still here. But this big event, sometimes it's a funeral, especially if it involves dividing up, you know, the estate of the person that's gone. And now all of a sudden, every childhood wound in your sibling relationships or even from your parents is just coming to the top again. And just kind of, you can feel it in your chest, you can feel it in your heart, and you don't know what to do. Often it's times like that, but it can just walk with us every single day, and we're just doing battle with it.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, has someone you care about hurt you and you're having a hard time getting past it? Maybe you're feeling resentful towards somebody and you're not sure how to let it go. Maybe they said something that really stung, or they let you down or lied to you. Maybe they failed to come through on a promise or did something behind your back. Or worse, they won't admit what they've done or how hurtful it really was. On the other hand, maybe it's somebody who has a grudge or grievance against you, and you're not sure how to heal the relationship. Let us help you find the grace to heal those grudges and grievances that keep us apart. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. I think that the one challenge that I run into a lot in talking with clients or even taking calls to the show, it's that what to do with those feelings that are left over, even when we're trying our best to move forward and forgive the person, we can feel really guilty for still having that anger or still having that resentment or distrust. The Catechism actually speaks to that. It talks about how it is not possible for us to not feel or even to forget an offense. We're always going to remember them. We're always going to feel it. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have a grudge or a grievance against the person, but it could yield some important information about the next steps in healing. So whatever the situation is, let us help you find the grace to move past those grudges and grievances, whether they are yours or directed at you. 877-573-7825.
And if that link... Oh, I'm so sorry. You stopped in the middle and I wasn't paying attention. Let me do that again. 877-573-7825. I have a frog in my throat and I didn't even know it. One of the things that I think we have to remember is where God's place is in all of this. If you are still feeling it, if, as the Catechism said, you're not being able to forget it at all, which is okay, what does God want you to do with it? Is he pointing toward saying, this feeling is still here so that you can develop skills to protect yourself in a healthy and holy way in other situations that may come up? Is it there because God wants you to address healing in that particular relationship? It's really about taking that to discernment and prayer and realizing that God's in all of it. Even when we're feeling like guilty or ashamed of it or angry about it, God still wants to help heal us through it all and do his work in us. So let's help you figure out what he wants from you in all of this and how you can find peace and maybe even reconciliation with somebody else or yourself today on More to Life.
877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. You know, it's reasonable to ask, you know, how could some theology help me deal with grudges and grievances? The theology of the body, though, has a lot to say about these kinds of things, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he wanted to know, what would it look like for the Catholic person to thrive? What would it look like for Catholics to experience truly healthy and holy relationships that reflect the Catholic vision of love? And his answer to those questions became what people now call the theology of the body.
One of the most practical gifts of the theology of the body is how it helps us think about healing wounded relationships, including the ones where we're carrying serious grudges. The theology of the body reminds us that people are sinful and broken, but it also insists that we never identify with that brokenness as though it were the final word. Instead, God calls us to cooperate with his grace to, and this is a theology of the body quote, become what we are, the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people God sees when he looks at us. This applies to our relationships too. The wounds we inflict on each other are real and they are serious, but they are not the final word. God calls every relationship, however damaged, to ultimately reflect the generous, life-giving love that flows from his own heart.
So where do grudges fit in all this? I mean, grudges are the enemy's clever distortion of actually something good, our natural desire for safety. You know, when we've been hurt, holding on to resentment feels protective. But it's actually a poor safety plan, rooted in a lie that we or God aren't strong enough to keep us safe unless we stay angry. It's a bit like pouring gasoline on a burning house to keep people away from the fire. I mean, technically that works, but it costs a lot to use that approach, and we almost always get burned in the process.
A much better approach is to ask God to help us learn to be strong enough to set charitable boundaries, ones that keep us genuinely safe even after the anger fades, and simultaneously points the way toward healing. Think of healthy boundaries as construction tape. They clearly mark off the unsafe areas of a relationship that's still under repair, while allowing the healing work to continue.
So if a grudge is weighing on your heart today, ask God to show you what you'd need to see or experience to feel genuinely safe with that person again. Then communicate those needs honestly. And in the meantime, it's okay to tape off the parts of the relationship that still feel unsafe, and then get to work on the parts the other person is willing to work on. Through grace and honest effort, you can find the path to healing. And we can help you do that if you give us a call at 877-573-7825. Today's show title, Grudges and Grievances, as we talk about those hurts in our relationship that are hard to get past, and whether you are the person who is holding that hurt in your heart, or someone is holding a grudge or grievance against you, we want to talk about finding the next steps to move on. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring to you our hurting hearts, those wounds from things that people have said or done that have let us down, that have cause us to feel betrayed or we're hurt in some way. Help us to know how to respond to those wounds in ways that are sincere and that seek real healing, not just papering things over and pretending that things are better, but really working to heal the hurts and to find the best way forward so that we can be confident in our ability to work with that person to prevent similar things from happening in the future, and knowing that we can trust each other. Help us most of all to trust your grace to move us through the pain toward healing. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
And today's show is titled Grudges and Grievances, as we talk about those old hurts, or maybe not so old hurts, that are hard to get past. And, you know, what do we do with the feelings? How do we begin to heal the relationship? Can we trust again? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Matthew, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Matthew, welcome to the show. What's your question for us?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
I had an affair. And that's kind of hard for me to say on such a platform, but
sure.
I've been kind of working through it, you know, with myself and God since it all came out about a month and a half ago.
So your wife knows?
Yeah, she knows. There was, you know, she found stuff on the phone and just really disgusting behavior that I'm, you know, super ashamed of.
So this was with another woman, or this was online?
Another woman.
All right. Okay.
And basically, I just, for about a year, I strayed so far from God, probably for multiple years, honestly. I was raised a devout Catholic, altar server, never did a day of school that wasn't Catholic school. So, you know, my parents gave me the foundation, and thank God for that, because I'm back. I guess the question, I don't even know what the question is, but I'm praying that God can enter her heart and just soften it.
So how to heal is what you're really kind of asking.
You know,
Matthew, how long have you guys been married? Just so I have some context here.
5 years. 5 years.
5 years.
Together for 11. We have a 3 and a 2 year old. The pain that I've caused her and everybody else is, you know, tremendous.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her or my kids in, you know, 44 days, but, you know, who's counting?
So you guys are separated at this point.
Yeah, we are.
Is she open to any kind of reconciliation? I mean, what words are you getting from her?
As of right now, no. Not at all. So, no. I don't know what's going to happen, but I have to find the good in this. And, you know, something that my mother said, who my mother is extremely devout, faithful. She said, Matt, if you lose everything in this, but you get God back, it's a net positive. And I've kind of been holding on to that because I did lose God. I started thinking science and probability and all these worldly things were the answer. And
well, let me jump in because of time, I want to make sure that I'm addressing your question. So you're basically asking kind of what would be the next steps in trying to heal the relationship, correct?
Yeah, and just heal my wife.
Okay.
You know, just
and can I ask, are you getting any kind of counseling at this point? I know you said you were working on it yourself.
I have a therapist, and then I have our family priest who married us, who, you know, he's been a beautiful guy. He gave me the key to the church. I sit in adoration.
Okay.
I surrender, I pray, and, you know, I do have...
Yeah.
Some
no, I'm glad you're getting. I'm glad you're getting that help. So let's. I want to walk through some steps here. You know, when you said that you were together for 11 years but married for 5, it's actually this is actually a critical point for a lot of couples, especially if they were cohabitating before. There's a thing called sliding versus deciding, and what that means is I forget the guy's name, Dr. Stanley something.
Siegel?
No, but that's all right. The idea is that traditionally what would happen is that couples would take steps toward marriage. They would consciously make steps toward it, right? So first we'd start dating, and then we'd decide to go steady, and there'd be some kind of sign of that, you know, exchanging the jacket or the ring or whatever. And then we get engaged, and then, you know, there's a public ceremony for that. And each step there's this sort of conscious, intentional decision to increase commitment and decrease other options. But the modern path to marriage tends to be sliding as opposed to deciding. We start sleeping together, and then I'm over your place so often that I might as well keep some stuff here, and then more stuff comes. And then, you know, we have a kid or two, and then we, you know, sort of, well, you know, I guess everybody's kind of looking at us funny, so we might as well get married, you know. And we sort of slide into it, but we don't really decide at any point. And so we suddenly wake up one morning, whether that's the day after the wedding or sometime shortly after, within the first kind of 5 years or so of the marriage, and look around and say, wait a minute, I didn't choose any of this. How did I get here? And it creates a little bit of a panic. On top of that, people who cheat, and you can reflect on this, I don't have time to have a conversation with you about it, but generally speaking, people who cheat struggle to deal with conflict directly. They have a hard time dealing with big emotions, and they're not great at advocating for themselves. And what happens is we repress those feelings. You know, it's like all that, the disappointments that I experience, or the, you know, the conflicts that aren't resolved, and I kind of keep it down. And then I find somebody that makes me feel better at church or at work or, you know, at the gym or whatever, that I end up using that relationship to self-medicate for kind of an undiagnosed depression. I'm throwing a lot of things at you here, but I want you to talk about this all with your counselor. In fact, I'd love for you to download the podcast, play it in session, and then use it as a springboard for deeper conversations. But these are some of the things that I think could have set you up for what you're doing, and it points the way back, because it's not going to be enough to just give up the affair. Whether the relationship can be healed or not, the thing that you're going to be focusing on are those deeper personal traits that prevent you from being effective at conflict, or managing strong emotions, or be advocating for yourself and your needs. And avoiding that pattern where you tend to repress things and lash out then by seeking somebody to help you feel better, you're going to need to look at that deeper depression wound potentially. And in terms of your wife, you want to look really hard. You don't want to come off like you're jumping through hoops for her. This has to be a real transformation. And I see that you're doing that, right? You're praying, you're seeking that grace, you're getting that support, and I think those are all very positive steps. But you want to make sure that you're using that grace to actually be a trustworthy man. You know, you say you don't have a lot of contact with her or your kids, but if you say you're going to do something, make sure you do it. If you say if you're going to be there at a certain time, show up at that time. Really demonstrate that faithfulness. Don't make excuses. When she asks you what happened, be forthright. Don't make her drag stuff out of you. It's going to be important for her to know what happened, as embarrassing and difficult as it is to talk about, in order for her to know what she's forgiving. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done here. I'm glad you're working with a counselor. These will be some things to discuss with your therapist and start to map out a plan moving forward. But don't forget to look at those more personal contributing factors to infidelity, and instead of just working on what can I do to fix my wife or heal my wife, because really looking into those things is what's going to help you be authentic in your pursuit of healing and cooperation with that grace that you're receiving. Matthew, thank you for the question. I'm going to encourage you to check out our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. And by all means, download the podcast and discuss this in your next session. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking about grudges and grievances. How do we get past those hurts that still sting even after we say we've forgiven? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, grudges and grievances, as we talk about those old hurts that still sting and are hard to get past. How can we find healing and true forgiveness? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya. He is a pastor, a counselor, an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Always good to be here.
And, you know, in reflecting on this topic of grudges and grievances, you said you wanted to talk a little bit about living in the freedom of the Spirit. What do you mean by that?
Yes, again, it comes from the spirituality of the theology of the body, as Pope John Paul II talked about, that our goal is to live the freedom of the Spirit. In other words, we have to be free. We're only free when we're living that life of Christ, which includes without grudges. You know, grudges bind us. I once heard from a Catholic psychologist named Dr. Gregory Popchak that forgiveness is a gift we give ourselves to free ourselves from bitterness. See, the right living, the Christian living, always ultimately is free. Nothing binds us. We set boundaries, yes, they're necessary, but that's not the same as grudges. In other words, we can never be like, well, I'll never talk to that person again. I'll always hold this hard feeling. That's not being free. It's being bound. And grudges block out the redemptive factor that's always a key of our Christian living. Anything has the potential to become redemptive and a possibility for healing. And, you know, we cannot hold grudges no matter what because Jesus Christ himself did not. If anyone had an excuse for that, it was him, but he did not. And so we can't either. And ultimately, grudges are based on pride. It's that sense of, like, no one can do that to me, and that's it. You know, I cut them off or I don't forgive them or whatever. And what I recommend is, as you're saying here, you know, approach the person, the situation for healing, but differentially. Never be deferential to that person. make your own, be honest on yourself, but boundary, you're deferential, but you're boundary. And remember that the reasons, you know, we get insight into why hurts happen, either what we inflicted or someone else inflicts a hurt. We look for insights, the reasons why. But reasons are not excuses. Reasons gives us insights so that we can approach the situation more openly, more compassionately, wisely, patiently, with the idea of redemption. But maybe that you will never will connect with that person again, whatever it may be, better, whatever. But you don't do it with a hard heartedness. You do it as a way of whatever is the healthiest thing to do in this relationship. It's all about freedom and redemption. That's the key to our Christian living. No matter what the hurts, you know, we tend to make the hurt everything in our culture today, and it gives us the excuses to be angry always or to be hard-hearted. But no, it's about freedom and redemption and healing.
Well, Lord, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Always great insights. And if folks would like to learn more about your ministry, they can go to taborlife.org. That's taborlife.org, like the mountain, and discover more ways the theology of the body can help us live in that spirit of freedom. Thanks for being with us today, sir. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show today, titled Grudges and Grievances. Has somebody you care about hurt you in some way, and you're just having a hard time getting past it? You know, maybe you're feeling resentful towards somebody and you don't know how to let it go. Maybe they said something that really stung or let you down or lied to you, failed to come through on a promise, or did something behind your back. Worse, maybe they won't even admit what they did or how hurtful it really was. On the other hand, maybe it's somebody who has a grudge against you and you're not sure how to heal the relationship. Whatever the challenge, give us a call, 877-573-7825. We'll help you find the path forward. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
There is genuine consolation from the Catholic Catechism regarding the death of a loved one. The Christian who dies in Christ Jesus, we are told, is away from the body and at home with the Lord. Death marks the end of a Christian's sacramental life, but the fulfillment of his new birth, which began at baptism, now has a definitive conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. The Christian funeral does not give the deceased a sacrament or sacramentals because he or she has passed beyond the sacramental economy. The different funeral rites express the paschal character of Christian death. The greatest consolation to the Christian is the knowledge that even in death, we are separated only temporarily, that one day, if we have lived well, we will all be together again in Christ. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Did you know that the opposite of angry isn't calm? It's care. Most couples think that the goal of an argument is to stop fighting, but the real goal is to take care of each other while you work through the tension and encourage each other toward solutions. In Lisa and my book, For Better Forever, we show couples how to practice caretaking in conflict, the ability to stay on the same team, even when you disagree. When you can say things like, I know this is hard, but thanks for hanging in there with me. And I love you, and let's figure this out together. You can stop having fights and start having conversations that actually make your marriage stronger. For more tips on building a marriage that gets better through every disagreement, see For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage,
or for more personalized support, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, grudges and grievances, as we talk about those times when it's hard to get past a hurt, whether it's something that's more recent or in the past. Sometimes people will say things or do things, not follow through on promises, do something behind our back that really just makes us feel let down and hurt, and it's hard to get past it. Even if we say, I forgive you, the feelings are sometimes still there, and the frustrations are still there too. How do we heal without just papering over the hurts or the offenses or leaving ourselves open to being hurt the same way again? How do we move forward without holding on to those grudges and grievances? 877-573-7825.
Well, Drea called in from Denver, Colorado to ask a question. She couldn't stay on, but we got enough information that we're going to try to answer you, Drea. I hope you're still listening. How to let go and forgive my mother, she said. How to heal when she doesn't ever ask for forgiveness.
You know, and I think this is a broad enough question that applies to lots of people. You know,
it does. And I have to say, it's particularly sticky when it is one of our parents, because we don't often feel like we can really go deeper or confront our parents when they're not repentant in any way for something they've really harmed us with.
So, you know, you're asking, you know, how do you let go and forgive your mom, especially when she doesn't ask forgiveness? Let's talk about what forgiving your mom would really mean. Because I think most people think that it means I have to pretend that she didn't hurt me or that things are somehow disordered in the relationship, and I just have to act as if everything is fine between her and me. And give her as much of a relationship as she wants to have with me without any kind of boundaries.
Yeah, and let's underline that. As much of a relationship as she wants to have. And in a case like you're talking about, Drea, often that parent really just wants everybody else to see the relationship looking normal so they don't look bad to other people. And they can just feel good about everything and continue on their way.
But whatever the situation, you know, forgiveness doesn't actually mean pretending that the offense didn't happen or giving the other person exactly the relationship that they are asking for without requiring anything from them. And it doesn't mean not setting boundaries to protect yourself. Forgiveness, St. Augustine said, and St. John Paul re-echoed this actually in his own writings, that forgiveness just means surrendering your desire for revenge. Surrendering your desire to lash out at the person who hurt you, you know, and wishing them well, you know, wanting the best for them. And now that can be hard enough to get to.
It can be extremely hard, especially when they've wounded us so deeply that we know we're going to be working on healing those wounds in ourselves for years to come. They're going to keep replaying themselves in some way. So it's very hard to not want them to have to go through some of that as well. And that makes everything very confusing. And we don't know how to let go like that.
Well, but forgiveness doesn't mean, you know, nothing in what I said, right, in order to what Lisa said, says that we have to pretend that nothing happened.
Right.
Or that we're not allowed to set boundaries or hold the person that hurt us accountable. Holding somebody accountable isn't unforgiving. It's actually healing. You know, Father Loya was talking about everything should be redemptive. When we are working to heal a relationship, the only thing we can do is point the way toward a healthier relationship and say, come walk that way with me. Now, if the other person isn't willing or able to do that, that gives us permission to say, okay, certain parts of this relationship aren't safe, so I'm going to use this construction tape to kind of tape it off. And I'm not saying we can never go there. I'm just saying we can't go there until it's safe to go there. Right. So, you know, when you say, how do I let go and forgive my mom, especially when she doesn't ask forgiveness, you have to ask yourself, how much of a relationship can I have with my mom and still feel safe? And when I say safe, I don't mean everything's perfectly wonderful and warm, but I mean, like, you can be in her presence without having to put yourself together the rest of the day.
And we all know how that feels, right? Let's really talk about what that is for just a second, because a lot of people go, I don't have to put myself back together. If you're running scenarios for hours or days before you have to see her,
and after,
and for hours and days after you have to see her, So you're preparing yourself. You're hoping for the best. You're doing extra prayers before you have to see her because it's bringing up all that stuff. And you're afraid of how she's going to be or how you're going to be. And then you leave and you're running every word she said, every response you had, all the past pain through your head, even though she's no longer in your presence. That's not feeling safe.
So how much can you be around her and not have to put yourself through that, right? And that might scale things back dramatically. I mean, you might have a texting relationship with your mom for now. You might have a weekly call, and then maybe only 5 minutes.
Yeah, you have to limit it so she doesn't, you know, say something ridiculous and make it all come back.
Maybe she behaves herself pretty well if you see her in public at a restaurant, but she doesn't do quite as well if you visit her at her house. Ask yourself, where do I feel safe, if not always entirely comfortable, safe around my mom? And scale the relationship back to that. Now maintain that relationship, even if you don't want to, but scale it back to that. And when your mom says, "Hey, Drea, why aren't you, you're texting me, but you won't take my call, or we'll talk every week, but
you're
won't
not
come
coming
and see
to
me.
Sunday dinner for the whole family,
or whatever
those things are."
You know, when she says, how come you're doing that? You say, "Well, Mom, I love you and I want a relationship with you, but this is as much of a relationship as we can have, unless we work through those other issues where I've come to you and I've told you how you've hurt me, and you won't ask my forgiveness or acknowledge that you did anything. And until we can work through those things, this is as close as we can be."
Now, think about the bravery that takes. Think about all the spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit you need to be able to say that when she asks the why. Most of us, our inclination would be, "Well, I'm just so busy. It just hasn't worked out." And we want them to mind read it and somehow heal it. But if we're going to take these steps to really be able to forgive and heal, we have to be willing to say those words in a non-confrontational, not screaming, not yelling, just saying, "Hey, this is the way it is, and this is why I'm scaling back the relationship."
And, you might say, "Well, how is that not..." In fact, your mom might even accuse you of not being forgiving, right?
Yes.
Or you might ask yourself, how is that not unforgiving? It's because it points the way toward healing. What are the other options? The other options are pretending that everything's fine and then just keeping getting hurt and hurt and hurt over and over again and resenting your mommy more and more and more.
And can I throw this in? Allowing her to keep stepping in the same pile of pain over and over and over again. So she needs to see that there's a consequence for this, that she can change if she becomes repentant and wants to heal the relationship. But if we don't do this, we keep getting hurt and we keep leaving a near occasion of sin for that person to keep stepping in.
And this isn't about holding a grudge. I mean, for example, if you get stronger and you're able to come closer to her, spend more time with her, even if she hasn't changed, then that's okay to do that. Because, again, it's based on your safety.
Right.
And also based on what's going to help her behave the best. Right. So we don't want to lead other people into sin. And if somebody can't be around me without being their worst self and I bring that out in them, sometimes the most loving thing I can do is to step back so I'm not as big a temptation for them. Right. So that's why setting these kinds of boundaries aren't unforgiving. You're saying, "I still want a relationship with my mother. I want the best for her. I wish that we could have more." But I'm identifying that there are certain places in this relationship that aren't safe to go. And until we can figure out how to make those things safe, I have to tape them off and stay over here. When your mom says, "Well, no, just tear down the tape and pretend everything's fine." No, I really can't do that. That's not good for either of us. But let's have the relationship in these areas. And if we ever get around to those other things, or you're ever willing to work on those things with me, then we can take the tape down and go over there too. But do you see what I'm doing? You're pointing the way toward redemption. You're pointing the way toward healing. And you're giving her a way forward should she choose to accept it. So we talk more about this in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's really a book about boundaries and how to set boundaries in ways that leave room for healing while still protecting us from the drama. So again, that's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Andrea, if you need more personalized support to kind of navigate these challenging issues with your mom, don't hesitate to reach out to us to help you find faithful ways to respond to these challenges at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, with that, we are taking your calls today on More to Life, the show titled Grudges and Grievances, as we talk about those hurts that are hard to get past. Give us a call. Let's work it out together. 877-573-7825.
It's time for our scripture of the day, which today comes from Romans 12:18. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all.
Okay, I want to hit that middle clause,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So far as it depends on you. You know, as Christians, a lot of us really feel like God has laid on us the burden of making relationships work all by ourselves. You know, going back to Drea for a second, you know, again, her mom isn't willing to work on the relationship. Her mom's not willing to acknowledge the ways that Drea's been hurt or to accept responsibility or learn from those experiences and heal them. She just wants Drea to say, well, that's, you know, clearly she's crazy and doesn't see it right and shouldn't be offended at all and should just pretend everything's fine. So healing that relationship is not dependent on her entirely, right? She can do what we said and point the way toward a healthier relationship, but then it's up to her mom to decide whether she wants to walk that path with her or not. And the same thing is true of all of us. You know, it is not our job to make all the relationships work. It is our job, and this is hard to do, to get to a place where we don't want to hurt the other person for having hurt us, and to get to a place where we can carve out the areas where we feel safe dealing with them, even if we don't want to. And finally, that we are pointing the way toward a healthier relationship if they're willing to work with us, and even if we don't want to. Those are the things that we are called to do, and they're hard enough without putting on ourselves a burden that even God doesn't, to make the relationship work entirely by ourselves and on our own efforts, even if the other person isn't safe to be around or willing to heal. All right. St. Paul, Romans 12:18. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. When we come back, more with your questions about grudges and grievances today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. We'll be back after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Grudges and Grievances. Are unresolved hurts impacting your relationship with someone you care about? Let us help you not just clear the air, but heal the wound. 877-573-7825.
Let's take our next call from a listener who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma on Oklahoma Catholic Radio.
Hi there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you. I'm not real sure how to explain this. My daughter has gone no contact for the last 2 years. I am too. It came after a divorce between her and her father. We found out.
Okay, wait 1 second. You said a divorce between her and her father. I think you misspoke yourself. Who got divorced?
No,
your daughter?
Yeah, her father and myself.
Okay, so her parents got divorced, and now she's gone no contact with you or with both you and her dad, just so we know.
With me. And we are Catholic. My family was a devout Catholic family, I thought. Turns out, I got a phone call, and it was understood that he was having an affair. And then he finally just sat down with me when I wanted to work on the marriage and just said, I've always cheated on you. He had an addiction problem, porn, lots of stuff. Helped him go to treatment, tried all of that, and it just wasn't going to happen. And so now he's the good guy. She got into a Catholic coaching thing. And now she's a life coach online, but she has thrown everything out online about how she can help people with narcissistic mothers and, just everything about the mother. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But I don't
Can you help
know.
Me understand what is from now? If you were, and I apologize for interrupting, but I we only have a limited amount of time, and I want to make sure I'm giving you some things to work with. So if you were going to be her, if she was calling the show, why would she say that she's chosen to cut you off and not her dad? Whether it's right or not,
I don't know. I don't know.
If you had to guess, how would she characterize her relationship with you?
I guess controlling. I've heard that word a lot.
She would say that you're controlling in some way. Go on. You were about to say.
That's the only thing I know.
Of things has she interpreted as controlling? I'm sure you didn't mean to be controlling, but what has she interpreted as controlling?
I ran. I've got a big business. So I ran a business also. So she saw me controlling the business. Maybe
it's not about the business.
I didn't turn it off when I got home. I'm sorry.
Yes. No. That's it's not about the business. It's something about the way you and she interact, right? So how if you really reflected on the way you guys interact, what would again you weren't intending to be controlling?
I hovered.
What would she describe?
I wanted to help her. Okay. I wanted to clear the path for her. My mother and I didn't. We weren't close, and I always wanted that. So I probably was too close. And I get that. I get that.
Okay.
There are many. I've been going to therapy for 2 years. There are many things that I've needed to work on, and doing.
Okay.
But if how do
so? How can we help you
how
today?
How do I reach out to her?
We
have these people that call in, and I listen to y'all very often that, these daughters that, my mom this. Have you really sat and asked her? Have y'all sat down? And because I would give anything if my daughter would call me and say, Mom, we got to talk. Oh, my goodness. Yes. But I think
so there was no point. There was no point where she said that to you.
No.
Sure. There was no point. You. How did you find out that she was going no contact?
She blocked me on her phone. I sent birthday cards to my grandkids and to her. They got sent back. And then it was out online. This is how you take care of things, is you go no contact in her coaching world. And okay. And I mean, not a peep.
All right. So that's a horrible place to be. And you know, I just want to say this. Okay. There are some people who are very good coaches, and we've actually worked with coaches in the past, and but the problem with coaching is that anybody can be one. And it doesn't, you don't need any training, or you can go on a weekend course. And you know, so there are legitimate coaching programs, but buyer beware, right? The coaching is not the same as counseling, and people who talk about, who are coaches who say they do work with narcissistic personalities and all of that, that's counseling. And that is unethical. I'm just going to put it out there.
And it takes real training to learn how to work with certain groups.
Coaching teaches skills. It does not do counseling. And anybody who's saying that they're doing a coach, being a coach and doing those kinds of serious issues, that's unethical. And buyer beware. Anyway, coming around to your question, sorry, listener. The only thing you can do is whatever avenue you have available, and if this means putting a comment on one of the posts that she said that puts about you on social media that you said that she's doing, or I would suggest writing privately to her first and just saying exactly what you were saying to us. It's like, look, I understand that you felt that I have been controlling, and I'm sorry that I've come off that way to you. That is not what I intended, but that doesn't matter. What matters is how you saw our relationship and your perception that I'm not willing to hear what you have to say to me. And I want you to know that I love you, and as hard as it is for me to hear that, I want you to know that I'm ready to hear whatever it is that you have to tell me whenever you're ready to tell me. And that's the message that you want to keep coming back to. I would suggest, you know, either writing in a letter or... if
now, we can't guarantee she'll open them since she didn't open your cards and just sent them back.
Or sending a text.
Whatever you can do.
Or if you see her... I would suggest contacting her personally first. If she rejects those things, then the next time you see her posting online about you, you can say, you know, as a comment to that, look, I apologize for reaching out this way. I just wanted, you know, I've tried to share this with you before, but I just wanted you to know that I... do hear that you feel that I was controlling, and that perhaps you felt that I wasn't willing to hear what you had to say to me in the past, and I'm really sorry for that. I'm ready to hear whatever it is that you need to tell me whenever you're ready to tell me, and I promise that I'll listen. And then you wait and pray, and if she does accept that the invitation, you bite your tongue the entire time, because there's going to be a lot you're going to want to explain or qualify. And that's not unjust. I mean, you have a right to be heard too. I'm not suggesting that you just have to say yes to her, whatever it is, you know, that you think is true. But you do have to listen, and you have to focus on helping her feel heard first, and really attended to, because you need to make it feel safe to come to you and explain these things. And what I mean by safe, I don't mean you're going to yell at her or judge her. I mean that she's going to feel like being vulnerable with you that way was really met with a spirit of acceptance and curiosity, where you really wanted to understand, even if you didn't see eye to eye with it. And so you're going to really have to bite your tongue and resist that temptation to explain things. And what you'll at some point want to say, look, you know, there's a lot I could say about why I did what I did or what I thought I was trying to do. And I could talk about that if you're open or willing, but I just want you to know that I understand that none of that really matters, that what matters in the end is the relationship that we built and that we have, and that's not a good thing, and that you haven't experienced me as supportive or listening or whatever it is. And moving forward, I'd really like to figure out how to heal that, if you're ready or when you're ready, and to whatever degree you are. But I respect your boundaries, whatever they might be. So it's only by taking that very kind of one down, humble, but sincere and strong approach that you can find your way through it. And I'm so sorry that you're going through this. I think the whole no contact thing for most situations is really unhealthy, and the people will come to regret it in most cases. There are some situations where the relationship is just so toxic and unhealthy that those kinds of boundaries need to be set. But for the most part, that's not true. And so I pray and I add you to our More to Life prayer list that your daughter would be open to this, but that would be the best way to get her to be open. And we talk more about things that you can do beyond this in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com, and it's really about how do you cultivate the kind of relationship that makes your adult kids open to you and willing to work on that relationship. Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. And if you want more personalized support, don't hesitate to reach out to us there. We'll help you find some faithful ways forward. And that applies to all of you listeners. If you are struggling with grudges and grievances, or someone has a grudge or grievance against you and you're looking for faithful ways to respond, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com so we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there's so much more to life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.